Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Man.
By Jokic, Campazzo, and the mismatch, the fake, the drive, and the hoop. What a pretty play by the Argentinian. Junior 3. All of it is dropping the sledgehammer. Who in the right mind would get in his way?
When we beat Portland in four games, we were the aggressor. We were the more physical team, and that has to be the case. We're undermanned. There's a reason no one's giving us a chance to win this series. We have to bring our best version of ourselves, and tonight we didn't get that from a lot of guys, and we'll need it on Wednesday night.
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
Well, let me think. Yeah, that sucks. Zach Bye hanging out to do a little overtime with us. What's up, TB?
What's up?
Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
You got your Nuggets jersey on.
I got to have a conversation. We'll save it for after Zach, but we got to have a conversation about the jersey.
Dude, let me tell you, I don't freak out about game ones because I know they're the most meaningless of all the games, but we're in trouble, and I feel so differently about this game one loss than the Trailblazers because there's depth and that the Suns have that I guess I took them too lightly. I never envisioned Chris Paul having a game like that. Because why?
Yeah, but
cause
can he keep that up? Yeah, exactly.
Is
that the real Chris Paul right now? Is he going to be able to keep that up for the remainder of the series?
That may be the real Chris Paul against the Nuggets. I don't know about all the other teams, but how exactly do you pay attention to Devin Booker and Chris Paul and Bridges and Ayton? Ayton is going to be whatever, but Paul, Booker, Bridges, come on, dude. Anyways, that's how I'm feeling about it. Zach, even Torrey Craig got some. How about him getting a little revenge, right? I guess revenge, but
yeah, he hit multiple threes, had that big alley-oop that turned the place inside out. Look, if you want to feel that way, I understand because, look, I've emphasized this on the Mile High Hoops podcast this morning, talked about it on the show. The Suns are really, really good. They didn't stumble into the second seed. They are really good. And if you look at their starting lineup, there's really not a lot of weaknesses. I mean, Jay Crowder is a 3-and-D guy who is tough, tough, tough as the day is long. Mikal Bridges, former top 10 pick guy who's coming into his own out of Villanova, really just absolutely torched the Nuggets last night. DeAndre Ayton, number one pick, who has totally come into his own. He actually washed out Jokic, which I didn't expect to see. Chris Paul is the point god. He is a, you know, walk and talk and Hall of Famer who's somehow still in his prime in year 16. And Devin Booker is, he's tremendous. He's one of the bright young players in this league. So they're awesome, man. I mean, they are awesome. This is going to be a really, really tall task for the Nuggets. I will say I'm not with the doom and gloom vibe that you have here today, Darren. I thought of the 48 minutes, about 30 of them were really good for Denver. I thought they were even if not better. I mean, if I asked you how you felt midway through the third quarter, not
I'd
the
be
first
fine.
Quarter.
They're up by 7. I'm fine. It's time to go up by 13.
They were up so 3/4 of the game. They played pretty good basketball.
So how does a team go from that to going on a game blank 16-0?
It was a really, really bad stretch of time. That it was a blitzkrieg. It was a big time run that I think it was 34-9 run that within it contained a 16-0 run. And during that time in the second half, Jokic did not play well.
Yep.
We are not used to seeing Nikola Jokic miss a bunch of shots, especially ones that are right around the basket. Like Jokic was missing layups at the 10. He was missing putbacks. He was missing his 10-12 footer when Ayton would back off him. We're not used to seeing that. And you already are missing firepower. If it's not coming from the head of the snake, Michael Porter Jr. was a non-factor in the second half for the large part. Like, who's it coming from?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's done. Jokic has to go for 30. Porter's got to go for 22, or they're toast. Forget it. I mean, then they'll get, you know, whoever after that. But if those two dudes don't get those numbers, something like that, then the Nuggets don't have a shot because they don't play defense. They're soft. What do they have? How many free throws did they have yesterday? What do they have?
Did they take six? They took six.
Six free throws.
Yeah.
Soft. Soft.
That's what Mike Malone said after, Michael Malone said after the game.
He's right.
Yeah.
Six free throws?
Well, I mean, if I've been playing devil's advocate here, and I feel like D-Mac and I are reversing roles a little bit here today, because yesterday I was sitting here saying I was panicked about the matchup. D-Mac felt great about the matchup. Today, I feel better than I did yesterday, actually.
How is that possible?
Well, I'll break it down a little bit for you. I mean, in the long run, do I think that Nikola Jokic is going to win the battle against Ayton? I do. I mean, he's the MVP. I don't expect it to continue to look like it did last night. In the long run, do I think that Chris Paul is going to continue to go out there looking like Chris Paul from 5 years ago? I don't. And then I look at three quarters of the game, and I think the Nuggets played pretty good basketball. Okay, so eventually if Chris Paul starts to slow down, eventually if Jokic starts to take over, and the wild card, of course, it's always been this way and it's never going to change. If Michael Porter Jr. can just play a complete basketball game, I feel like we could win any game against the Suns. Zach?
So I'm closer to you on this spectrum than I am D-Mac. I feel like this is going to be a very long series. I do not feel like the Nuggets are punching out of their weight class. I think the Suns are really good, but I think they can be had. And I think...
How?
Well, you saw it. I mean, you saw it yesterday.
You did?
Like I said, they're up 10. They weren't up 7. They were up 10 with 8 or 9 minutes, I think 8 minutes left in the third. They were not having their way, but they were in the driver's seat of that basketball game. They had the lead at halftime. They were up 10, approaching midway through the third. Then Jokic really started to slow down. He was just missing a bunch of shots. And here's the other thing. They got absolutely nothing, zero, from Monte Morris. Offensively.
It was terrible.
Monte Morris scored 22 points in game 6 of last series, scored 28 in game 5. He's been great in these playoffs. Last night, it might have been the worst game that I've seen him play.
One for 10 from the field, 0 for 4 from behind the arc, 2 points, minus 28, plus minus.
I mean, terrible. Think about that. Minus 28. He played 23 minutes. You play 23 minutes and you got outscored by 28 points while you were out there. That's hard to do and very uncharacteristic. Characteristic of Monte. So, do I have to use my imagination a little bit? Sure. Are the Nuggets supposed to lose this series? Absolutely. They're better than 2-1 underdogs. But there were large sections of the basketball game where I felt pretty good about the matchup. And like Tyler said, I think that moving forward, Nikola is not going to be scoring 22. And I don't know if Chris Paul is going to be making, two of his three threes. So,
hey, Zach, let me ask you something about just when you've got a player like Nikola Jokic and his playing time, I'm curious about the management of the playing time. I feel like it's so predictable when Nikola Jokic is going to be in the game, when he's coming out. It's always going to be right there for the last 2 minutes of the third quarter, a couple minutes into the fourth quarter, and I feel like we lose a lot of momentum there. Should it be that predictable? Should you always know when the guy's going to be in the game, when he's going to be out the game? I mean, I'm a huge fan of Coach Malone, and who am I to criticize his decisions? But it feels to me like teams capitalize on when they know for a fact he's going to be out of the game.
Yeah, I think that's a fair criticism. We saw this in the first round as well, where it's kind of like sticking to the script approach. And I happen to agree with you. You got to be pliable here. The NBA playoffs, much like the NHL playoffs, and we'll see tonight, they're all about adjustments. And if you're a little too rigid with your substitution patterns, you become more predictable, from an attacking standpoint for the opposition. So I absolutely agree with you. I think Michael Malone should change things up a little bit when he feels the temperature of that game switching. But I'll say this, D-Mac, too. Game ones for the Nuggets. Look at game ones for the Denver Nuggets last 3 years.
Dude, like, I get it. That's why I always downplay game ones.
The sun rises in the east, settles in the west.
I get it.
Water's wet, and the Nuggets lose game one. I mean, this is...
Nobody on this station...
Why you gotta bring up the sun? Why you gotta use the sun?
Right. Nobody has brought up the meaningless or the less meaningness of game one more than me. I've been ridiculed for it. But you'd be blind not to see the difference between this game one and the Trailblazers. I mean, the Suns had 4 guys over 20 points. The Nuggets were not balanced at all. They did play soft, and Malone had to call him out about it again.
This game, to me, was eerily similar to game one against Portland. I think we had way too many breakdowns tonight from a coverage standpoint. I think 7 of their 13 threes they made were from the corners, and a lot of that was missed assignments, not communicating. We gave up 8 and-ones tonight. think had a soft mentality. You can't give up eight N1s in a playoff game. If you're going to foul somebody, foul them and not let them get the N1. 22 transition points. The turnovers, obviously 12, but for 18 points. So we did some good things. Obviously, we were unable to sustain it for 48 minutes. And you know, we all collectively have to be a lot better, a lot more physical, and a lot more disciplined come game two on Wednesday night.
Listen, they were supposed to beat the Trailblazers, and they did. Okay, good. They aren't supposed to beat these guys, the Suns, and likely they won't. But I'm not saying they can't. They're not a great team, and they have special guys. They have the MVP, and with that, anything's possible. But that was pathetic, dude. That was pathetic last night to just fall apart like that. Come on. Come on, man. Can't do that.
Well,
can't get blown out after leading by 7 in the third. Give me a break.
They're up 10, as I said.
Sorry, it was worse.
Yeah, no.
My bad.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to, you know, help you out.
Okay, thanks.
I would caution you, we did this after the Portland game one, and we do it all the time. These games are so massively important, and they all mean so much, that we have a tendency to make them a referendum of the series. I do not believe this is going to be a short series. I do not believe the Phoenix Suns are going to beat the Nuggets 4 out of 5 times, and that's how this is going to end. I think this is going to be a 6 or 7 game series. I think for some of the reasons that Tyler mentioned, some of the reasons that I've mentioned. I will say this. As great as off the street Rivers was in the first round, he's got to be a lot better. Austin Rivers, a lot better. It was a performance like last night, which is why I picked against the Nuggets in round one. You just look at it on its face. The backcourt is Chris Paul and Devin Booker against Facu Campazzo and Austin Rivers.
Right. I mean, the rubber was going to hit the road missing Jamal Murray at some point, and that's what it felt like last night. Yay, happy to be wrong on this, but I think the Suns will win game two, and then I don't know. We'll see what happens after that. I don't know how the Nuggets win game two. I probably seriously do not know how after watching that last night.
Does Michael Porter Jr. have it in him at this point in his career? And I'm being dead serious. Does he have it in him to play a complete game?
Probably not. Probably not.
Well, then we probably can't win. I mean, because unless he's got that in him on a consistent basis.
Not only can he not play a complete game, he can't play a complete game, and he cannot stack game to game to game. He's not consistent like that.
No.
So, I mean, he was kind of...
What you hope is that he's so sensational in the one department that he's just masterful in, that's shooting the basketball, that it serves as a mascara for some of the other shortcomings. Like, we're seeing in these playoffs Michael Porter Jr. not being able to get his own shot off. And I said this on the podcast, I said it on our show. When he's not catching and shooting the basketball, he's very limited offensively. He's not even great from a footwork standpoint coming off of screens. So... And then defensively, man, he leaves a lot to be desired. But we got to remember, he's a young player. He's 22 in his second year playing. But my biggest issues with Michael Porter Jr. is, like, you got a Mikal Bridges who is going nuclear on you from three. He's in front of you catching the ball, and there's not a closeout with a sense of urgency. When you don't close out with a sense of urgency for the best basketball league in the world, that we're seeing the ball being shot at the highest rate in the history of this game, man, I don't like to see that. I just don't like to see it, and I'm sure it drove Michael Malone crazy because at a bare minimum, all your shots aren't going to go down, but your effort defensively has to be there, or you don't really have a shot against a team that is as tough as the Phoenix Suns.
One last one for you, Zach, and I appreciate your expertise. But explain to me how DeAndre Ayton can play 36 minutes against Jokic and come away with one personal foul.
Well, I mean, I'll ask you guys, how many times did you see Jokic trying to attack all the way to the basket? He did it a handful of times, but more often than not, in that second half, he was settling for threes and mid-range jumpers. And that's just what it was. I mean, should there have been a time or two more that Jokic got sent to the line? Probably, but I don't think the officials and the free throw discrepancy here had as much to do with the officials as it did the Nuggets attempting 40 three-pointers and not attacking the basket more.
Yeah, they played soft. All right, Zach. I mean, what are you picked them to lose by double digits.
I did. I did. I said at the outset, I believe this series is going to be very close. I think each of these games are going to be close.
So you think game two is going to be any different?
I think it's going to be very close. I said the only game I believe, and this I'm going out on a bit of a limb here, but I said the only game that I believe that will be out of hand will be game one. It'll be Phoenix on the winning side. Hopefully that holds true. These teams played three times in the regular season. It was a three-point win, an overtime, or a three-point game, an overtime game, and a double overtime game. I think moving forward, the series is going to be more reflective of that than it will be game one. But that's hard for us to picture right now, given how game one went. And that's more on your side of the spectrum, and I get why you're there. Hopefully when we talk on Thursday, this conversation has a different temperature.
Can I suggest something crazy? Can I just suggest something crazy? How about sticking JaVale McGee in there for a few minutes and just trying to beat up on Ayton a little bit? Is that crazy?
Well, I don't think Ayton, like, unto himself is, like, you don't see DeAndre Ayton them say, hey, go get us a bucket a lot. He is the beneficiary.
I don't care. How about just getting in there and pushing him around a little bit? How about just getting physical with the young guy? How about just messing with his head a little bit?
Well, I mean, because then you got to take Jokic off the court.
No, well, you're taking Jokic off the court anyway.
Okay.
I mean, for a couple of minutes, you know, I mean, not much. But my suggestion is when you take Jokic off, well, or unless maybe I missed it. Was it a purely a matchup sort of situation? Did Ayton play the same exact minutes? So Jokic had 36. Oh, Ayton had 36.
Yeah, so
that's a pure matchup thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they were kind of mirroring each other. All but, right. I don't think, like, and this is all the respect in the world to JaVale McGee. Like, if you're thinking JaVale McGee in year 17 is going to help you tilt the series, you know, you're probably in trouble anyway.
All right. Well, that's right.
I just think that we're going to see a much better version of Nikola Jokic here moving forward. And if they don't, the Nuggets don't have a shot.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Chris Paul, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists. First player, 36 or older, with a 25-10 playoff game since 1965. Did you see that coming?
Well, no, I did not, but I guess that's part of the reason why I feel a little bit optimistic moving forward. I don't think he's going to do that every night. I don't think that Chris Paul's got that in him at this point in his career. We've seen who he is. He's more or less a role player on that team at this point. Role player might be a little bit too strong, but he's not that. That's not who he is on a night-in, night-out basis.
I get it.
So
he was last night, though. It was crazy.
I mean, but why am I going to sit here and think that that's who he's going to be for the remainder of the series when that's not who he's been all year long? I don't think he can keep that up.
So he's not going to be
that? I feel like Jokic is going to eventually start winning the battle against Ayton. He's not going to get shut down. He's the MVP for a reason. That's not going to continue to go down that road. I mean, look, I'm not sitting here telling you the Nuggets are going to win this series. I already told you that I think the Suns are a better basketball team. I told you that yesterday, and I'm not backing down from that. But I don't think it's nearly as pathetic or desperate as you're describing it right now. I mean, you have three quarters of a basketball game in which the Nuggets – We're either winning or flat out just in it. Competitive basketball.
Soft.
Yeah, it was a soft ending.
Soft.
But I mean, how do you go from thinking it was like a dream matchup yesterday to thinking it's all over?
Because I didn't factor in Chris Paul.
Okay. So, but now all of a sudden you think that Chris Paul is going to be there every single night.
I don't know what's going to stop him, but.
Well, age. How about, like, who he is? Injuries?
If you want to say, okay, Chris Paul's not going to be like that every night. Monte Morris and Austin Rivers aren't going to be that bad as a combo meal, especially Morris, who is terrible. And Porter Jr. is going to score in the 20s, not 15 points. And Jokic is going to play tougher and just had an off night.
Well, I feel pretty good about most of those.
Nuggets win by 5 if all those things happen.
Okay, fine. So, I mean, you've got a competitive basketball game in which you could win a couple of them. Now, the one wild card that you just said that I can't tell you I feel great about is Michael Porter Jr. He is the one that it's all going to come down to. Can he show up and play a complete basketball game or not? And if he doesn't, you're probably going to have a hard time winning games. But I feel good about Chris Paul. I don't think that that's going to continue to be like that. I feel good about Nikola Jokic. He's going to play better than he did last night. Yeah. I mean, look, this is not as like Debbie Downer as you're painting this.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But, hey, man, the Suns were better in the regular season for a reason. And here we go.
They were better by 4 games.
Okay.
I mean, relax. Like, 4 games. That's nothing.
So what are you predicting here? Go for it.
I still think the Suns will win the series, but I think that the Nuggets will be competitive. I don't think it's as hopeless as you're painting it to be.
Well, I think the Nuggets lose game two. You?
No, I think they'll win. I do. I think they'll bounce back. We've seen this for the last 2 years. The Nuggets come out. They start slow in just about every single playoff series. And then they bounce back. They do their deal. Nikola Jokic will settle down. Michael Porter Jr. hopefully will play a more complete game. I think he'll probably sneak out game two. And then it's going to come down to what do you do after that?
If they can win game two, anything's possible. They lose game two, it's just done. I mean, by hook or by crook. So there you go.
I mean, oh, goodness, now I feel like you from yesterday, but I agree with you. We're likely going to lose, but goodness gracious, man, we are not a pathetic basketball team. This is not a group out there that looked that embarrassing. Was it a bad fourth quarter?
What kind of pathetic yesterday? Last night, hold on.
They looked bad for a quarter.
And a half.
Okay, fine. Maybe a quarter and a half. Like, but what about does the rest of the game not count?
The rest of the game doesn't really matter when you just let up like that and then you get smoked.
Right.
I mean, it was a bowl game.
Okay.
All right, anyways. You know who's...
How do you flip that one? I mean, gosh, how do you go from yesterday, this is a dream matchup, to it's all over today?
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is not...
Well, that's how.
And you think that Chris Paul, at this point in his career, is going to continue to do that against the Nuggets?
I don't know how you're going to stop him, but I'm happy to be wrong. We got Campazzo, so...
Chris Paul will stop himself at some point because he's old, he's injured, and that's not who he is anymore.
I mean, look at the matchups. It was like Green on Paul, Campazzo on Paul. Who are the other matchups on Paul? It was like pathetic. Like, he was just dominating every single person that was around him. I mean, Devin Booker didn't have to do a thing.
I know, so it's just a matter of whether you think that he can do that every single game.
I think he's a ridiculously tough matchup. I think this is where Jamal Murray, you're missing him so much. And yeah, Jokic, it's got to be 35. Porter Jr., it's got to be 22, 23. Got to. You can't count on Monte Morris scoring 22 points. You cannot do it.
Okay, but you can count on Nikola Jokic playing better than he did. You can count on Chris Paul eventually coming back to his average, which is not what it was last night.
Hey, I love your enthusiasm, man. I love it.
I'm not telling you I think the Nuggets are going to win the series. I don't. I just think that it's not even remotely the way you're painting it.
Okay. You're not used to hearing me being a Debbie Downer here.
Well, I'm just having a hard time comprehending how yesterday this is the dream matchup. We are better. I feel so great about it. To today, it's all over. Game one doesn't matter, by the way. I thought game ones didn't matter.
Game ones don't matter in terms of the series, but game ones can be an indication of problems that you have. I wasn't down on the Nuggets after game one against the Trailblazers.
Why?
What was different? Because I just didn't feel like it was... It didn't feel like a big deal to me. This felt like a big deal. This felt totally different.
Why?
You know, I can't
point out what is different between this game one and Portland game one.
I've said Chris Paul like nine times. I mean, if that's not good enough for you, I don't know what else to say.
So Damian Lillard, in his prime, that dude didn't worry you, but Chris Paul at the tail end in his twilight of his career.
Every team has that dude
that you're now panicking about?
Because every team has a superstar. And their superstar is not Chris Paul, it's Booker. And Booker was able to just chill and just, you know, have kind of an average game for him. And he didn't have to be their superstar, and they still blew the doors off the Nuggets.
Because Chris Paul played out of his mind.
Lillard's a superstar. You expect superstars to play like it, which he usually does. You don't expect the, you know, 36-year-old to dominate you.
Right. Exactly.
That to me is a problem. I don't expect that to continue.
All
right, fine. If it doesn't continue, it doesn't continue. But that's why. I don't know how else to say it, but that's why. We had a 36-year-old, you know, future Hall of Famer, granted, but a dude that was really kind of doing nothing in the playoffs, just absolutely
dominating.
Did you
eat your mung beans today?
I did.
I mean, seriously, did you eat enough?
I did. I had two mung beans.
Are you finally getting tired of them? Is it growing on? I mean, no. At this point, is it irritating you?
I found them at King Supers.
What went wrong today?
I emptied the shelf.
Huh? You ate too many of them. Stomach's a little bit upset. Am I going to be living with the consequences of this all day?
It's the dose of reality,
huh?
Listen, we got bigger fish to fry.
What was yesterday?
Anyways.
Was yesterday not reality?
Yesterday was filled with optimism and puppy dogs and jelly beans, And today is razor blades and blistering sun. By the way, nice sauna out there today.
I know.
Great that we go from, like, you know, freezing. We go to winter to summer. What happened to spring? We don't get really spring.
It has been blistering hot.
Lee, thank God it's a ice cooler in here. I don't know. We gotta worry about the Avs. Governor Polis. Oh my God. We should get to that in the water cooler. The governor. The governor was pretty funny on Twitter. I like to think we had an impact on that, too.
Oh, he was listening.
It feels like it, doesn't it? If you don't know what we're talking about, hang around. The water cooler's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Oh my God, you people on the text line. Just because I mentioned the governor, you're all upset? Calm down. Give me a break. You should love what he had to say. I mean, every single sports fan should love what Governor Polis had to say on Twitter today. Seriously. Governor Polis on Twitter, quote, Colorado is more than ready for Avs and Nuggets to play at full capacity, exclamation point. I hope NHL and NBA agree.
Mm.
So for everybody
out there blaming me, it's right. Not on me.
Right.
I'm not holding back the Avalanche from having full capacity in Game 7, which if you're not caught up to speed, here's the situation. The Nuggets will play Friday night at home at Ball Arena. They will have 100% capacity. If there is a Game 7 for the Avalanche, that will be held on Saturday at Ball Arena, and that has to go back down to 57% capacity, which is absolutely the dumbest thing that I've ever heard on planet Earth. That on Friday, it's okay to have 100% capacity, but on Saturday, you got to go back down 57%. Well, why? Well, because when they made the decision, they said that when both teams get to the next round of the playoffs. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Are you ready or are you not? Is it okay to have a full capacity or not? So there was an outcry yesterday, and I think a lot of people were reaching out to the governor, and he's now deflecting it, saying it's not on me. So the question is, well, who's left? I go through the list, and I've kind of narrowed it down. Seriously, I put some targets up on the board last night, and I was throwing darts at it, and I was like, all right, well, we'll throw darts at that one. Well, if it's not the governor, then who? All right, well, is it Kroenke? No, it can't be Kroenke. I mean, why would Kroenke not want fans in the arena? He's already got it for the Nuggets. Certainly he would want a full capacity for his team for the Avalanche on Saturday. Okay, so if it's not Kroenke, what's left? The only thing I could think of is CDHP. And does the governor not have control of that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. None of it makes any sense. It's not on the government, though.
I don't know that. Do you know that?
It's pretty clear from the governor's tweet right here. It's got nothing to do with them.
Well, what if it has something to do with the CDHP?
I don't know. It's got whatever. I mean, a lot of people wanted to blame.
Is that not government?
I really don't know. I have no idea. But according to Governor Polis, open up now. It's
I don't think it's Kroenke. Do you think it's Kroenke? Why would Kroenke not want to have people there?
I have no idea. But what seems very clear to me is that if you're throwing darts for people to blame, take the government off the list. It's got to be somebody else.
I'm not buying that. I don't buy that at all.
Well, then why would the governor put that out there on Twitter?
Well, maybe at this point he's saying everything's okay, but there are other parts of government that is not just him.
All right, fine. Well, I don't know.
I don't believe that it's Kroenke. I really don't. Why would Kroenke want it full capacity for the Nuggets?
I don't know. But you're saying how could they? Sure. Logistically, it sucks for them.
Why?
Because it just stinks. In terms of who they've sold tickets to and how they've distributed them, it's not worth it for them because maybe they have to. I'm making an argument here. I don't know any of this for a fact. But maybe it's just a pure logistics issue in terms of who sits where and how that happens. And it's already sold out, and they really don't have to worry about it. And that's that. And if they started say you bought a ticket in the 500 level, but there wasn't one lower, or there's some sort of cost, I don't know. Maybe it's just logistically not worth it to them. Well, but again, I'm just making an argument. I don't know this.
Okay. I mean, let's play that game for a second. So logistically, let's think about the issues with tickets. Okay. They sold the tickets preemptively. Well, certainly you could always sell more tickets. All right. Well, let's dig it in next to the next level. So they sold the tickets. Did they sell them in pods? I don't know. I'm going to guess here. Maybe they sold them in some sort of pods. Okay. Well, now how do you solve that? Well, offer the people that already bought the tickets the chance to upgrade. If they don't want to upgrade, they don't, and then open it up. But you are still a business, so I don't buy that Kroenke would not want as many people in the stands as he could possibly have to make money. That's the goal of any business. Oh, and also to win. It's also the home court, the home ice advantage.
So let's recap.
So work a couple more hours. If it logistically it's challenging, stay a couple hours late.
So, full capacity Friday night for the Nuggets.
Correct.
Okay, we know that. Limited capacity on Saturday for a potential Game 7. It's not on the governor. He's saying open up. It's not on Kroenke because that doesn't make any sense.
But when did...
Who's it on?
Well, I already told you who I think it's on. I don't know.
The CDPHDP, whatever they are?
Correct. That's the only thing that I've got left because
they got that kind of authority.
Well, I think that yes, I think that they have to give the approval for Ball Arena in order to have the full capacity. They gave approval for the next round, but not this round. Look, official prediction: this will get fixed by Friday. This will get fixed. Somebody will figure it out. I don't know who's to be blamed right now, but I'm just crossing people off the list. And if we're going to believe the governor with his tweet that he's not the issue here, well, I don't know when he cleared it. First off,
I'm reading this.
Second off, if he is to be believed, well, I don't think it's on Kroenke. So now I've kind of singled out. I don't know who's left.
I'm looking at thank you for on the text line showing me the exchange from the governor. Colorado's more than ready to open. A woman responds, isn't this your call, sir? Maybe I'm wrong. Couldn't you have had a hand in this remedy? Polis responds, there aren't any state limits on capacity. It's up to them how many they want to have. So he's pointing the finger at Kroenke.
Okay.
Or the NHL, I guess.
Yeah, I guess NHL is an interesting one. I hadn't really thought about that, but that doesn't make any sense because the Vegas Knights went to full capacity in the middle of a series.
Right, so
it's not NHL, right?
Why does the NHL want less fans? Why do they care?
Well, maybe it's Kroenke. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me that it would be. Why in the world would they not want as many people as they could possibly have there?
I don't know. And obviously, Polis was... had enough of people blaming him or the government. He obviously today wanted to make it clear, or yesterday, whenever that came out, that, hey, man, they can open up if they want. He's making that more than clear. I don't get it. And wouldn't you want every advantage you could possibly get for Game 7? And yes, Tyler, you're probably right. Somehow, miraculously, like one game could not be broadcast on TV. And then, oh, this can be broadcast on TV. Oh, so who's going to be shocked? Raise your hand if all of a sudden, a couple days from now, we find out, hey, guess what? We can sell a whole building on Saturday for Game 7.
Yeah, it'll get fixed because there should be outrage. There absolutely should be.
Of course.
You're not only are you not able to attend the game if you want to, but your team is at a disadvantage right now. So you should be ticked off about that as well. Vegas has got an incredible environment. And yes, the 57% of capacity that has been filling up these games, they're loud, they're doing a good job, but it's not the same. You can't tell me that's the same environment that Vegas has.
All right. Well, it's a frustrating situation. I don't want to even wait on this because it's huge news. It's big, huge news. And we'll talk in depth about it, but this is just, you should hit breaking news. We should have a breaking news thing. This is serious breaking news and great breaking news. Jokic won the MVP.
Nice. I mean, look, not surprised, but congratulations. He had an incredible season. That's exactly what we all thought was going to happen. I hope that he plays like an MVP the rest of the series here, because we need it. What he did last night was not enough, but sincere congratulations. Very well deserved. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
The Denver Nuggets have got the MVP of the NBA.
Yeah, and I'll be excited to find out. Well, I hope. Do you find out the vote totals of that? I hope you
do. I don't know.
I'm not sure, but I think you do. Well, way to go, man. The Joker has, he's incredible. He is incredible. It was great to see, too, on ESPN. I saw Stephen A. Smith say that the MVP not only of the regular season is Jokic, but he's also the MVP so far of the playoffs, which I agree is true. I mean, last night was a bit of an off night, but he's incredible. He's the greatest Nugget of all time. He had the greatest individual season of any Nuggets player of all time. He's the most deserving MVP the Nuggets have could have ever had as an individual player. The Joker is absolutely spectacular start to finish, and you always have a chance to win with him. Always. So, man, way to go. Way to go. That is... Now, that's awesome. That, my friends, is awesome. We can talk about it more when we come back. This is The Drive on the Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Jokic today, moments ago, made history winning the MVP of the NBA.
Yes, sir.
Becoming the lowest drafted player ever to win the NBA's MVP. Wow.
Win one for the underdogs. That's right. I love it. Nikola Jokic, what an incredible story, man. He is, we were just talking about it during the break, not only is he an incredible basketball player, by all accounts, from everything we can understand, he's like an incredible human being. He's hilarious every time he's with the media. For a guy that English is a second language, he's like unbelievably, not only articulate, but funny. Yeah. Like he understands the humor. He's just seems like a very first-class human being. This is a big deal for not only Nikola Jokic, but for the Denver Nuggets. We've always been considered a flyover city in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wonder what happens when you've got the MVP. When it comes time to free agency, now that's not necessarily the model that this team has been built on, so I don't know if Tim Connelly would ever really change that model, but okay, when it comes to free agency, well, would other big-time free agents now look at Denver differently because you've got the MVP?
Great question. And, you know, hey, first of all, thanks, Apostle J.
Yeah.
Second of all, Jokic, congratulations to him and the amount of work that he's put in. But maybe perhaps third of all, Tim Connelly and your scouting department. I mean, wow. That is impressive.
Yep.
That is a hell of a job to be able to find this guy. And that's beyond, like, luck.
Well, What the rest of the NBA has done and does every single year in, year out, is so counter to the way that Tim Connelly has built this team organically from the ground up with youth and development and all those sorts of things. It's real easy to be a scout in the NBA when you go out and you just sign the top free agents that are available. How hard is that? But to be able to go out and actually find guys like the Nuggets have had, shoot, you'd be hard-pressed to argue that they don't have the best scouting department in the entire NBA.
On the text line, Hot Take Tuesday, by the way, if you want to get in on it. Jokic, greatest Nugget of all time. No, you guys are too young. Thank you. David Thompson was the best ever. Jokic needs a few more years to make that claim. David Thompson was a great player, no doubt about it. But he did not have the versatility that Jokic has. And that's where everybody, that's where Jokic is better than everybody, because he's a point center. And it's just absurd what he can do.
Yep.
I'm not trying to take anything away from David Thompson, and I'm quite aware of David Thompson and what he did as well. Nothing against him.
We have to give our top five Nuggets of all time to our boss today. We got a little piece coming out.
David Thompson to me was number three.
David Thompson did not even make my list, ironically.
Do you remember what your list was?
Yeah, I know my list. It was Nikola Jokic. It was Carmelo was next. Alex English, Mutombo, and then Mahmoud.
Okay. I had Jokic, Melo, Thompson, Dikembe, and I think Ryan Bowen. No, I actually forget who my fifth was, but I had him. I had David Thompson third, and I know everybody hates Carmelo, so okay, fine. But he really was. I guess I could have had Dan Issel on that list for sure.
Easily could have put the horse on there.
Yeah.
Hey man, I mean, look, Mount Rushmore's are Mount Rushmore's for a reason. It's impossible to figure it out. They're all good. They're all deserving. That's just my personal opinion. That's your personal opinion.
Yeah, I guess it's easier to look at the list, I guess, now, because who else won a NBA MVP? Yep. Which would be nobody. And I know it feels weird because he's so young. Listen, they should probably not beat the Suns in this series. The only reason they have a shot is because of Jokic. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully they can turn things around. It's a tough spot to be in because he cannot have an off night or semi-bad game, and you saw what happened last night when that was kind of the case.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have Robin to Batman right now, and Michael Porter Jr. is not Jamal Murray. Michael Porter Jr. is capable of being that second guy in little spurts. He certainly helped us out in the last game against Portland. Did it in the first quarter. He was on fire. He needs to play complete basketball start to finish in order for the Nuggets to truly be able to win the series. However, hey, man, you know what? I mean, do you not think that Nikola Jokic is going to play like the MVP the rest of the series? Do you think that that's gone away? Did he forget how to be that kind of player?
He'll be back. He'll be back stronger.
Right? I mean, and if you've got the MVP on your team, if you've got LeBron James on your team, you can beat any team. You can beat anyone. We currently have the MVP of the NBA. You can beat the Suns. Do I think they will? Probably not. It's going to be tough, but they can.
By the way, the Texters, because they're smart, smarter than us. I did have Alex English on my list. So I just forgot him right here and there. In fact, now that I think about it, I told you, mile long, 3 inches deep. I had Alex English third, Dikembe four, and Thompson five. Sorry. But I did have Alex English on there.
So we only had one different. Our top four were the exact same.
Mahmoud, was that the difference? You know, I just don't recall. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't remember the impact he had, or I'm not that clear on it. I'm a lot more clear on the other
I will
guys.
Admit that one has a little bit to do with childhood bias for me.
Well, that's
I mean, seriously, just that was who I grew up watching, right? So for me in my lifetime, those were the guys.
I'm sure there's plenty of people who say my bias is that Carmelo won my school a national championship.
There you go.
Which
you and Mike Evans.
Probably fair. Yeah, you know what's funny though? Like Mike doesn't care. Mike does not care that Carmelo was basically single-handedly responsible for our school winning its only national championship. And he still just trashes Carmelo and throws him under the bus left and right. It's just the bitter, torrid, sad life of Mike Evans sometimes.
Tough life. Tough life to be Mike.
He can't be a ridiculous homer about things.
Right.
Stupid, objective Mike. Is he back from vacation, by the way?
I don't. Yes. Yes, he is.
A lot of
people on vacation. Stokely's going on vacation again. This guy. Goodness.
This guy.
How do I get that kind of deal?
Well, man, listen, these are all first world problems here, man. Like, who are the greatest Nuggets of all time? This is a fun debate to be able to have. They're all great players. They're all tremendous. It's just that Jokic is the best. And he's 26. I mean, what is the future for this dude? And great point by you. What is the future for free agents and other people wanting to be here with the league MVP? Should be pretty strong, you'd think, right?
Feels optimistic.
Maybe you're turning me around a little bit. Maybe I'm not going to be so negative today about the Nuggets. It was just disheartening to watch last
night. If you keep it up, I'm going to go buy you a package of M&Ms. I'm going to make you eat it.
Good.
Get the blood sugar level up a little bit.
Good. All right, the Aaron Rodgers watch goes on. A fun twist and turns today. We have Schefter on it. It is hysterical to see the meltdowns that are happening as we just kick back in Bronco land and watch it all kind of wither away in Wisconsin. Football at 4 is next.